Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this afternoon's message, Being Alone with Jesus. Being Alone with Jesus. And we're going to read Matthew 14. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 14. And we're going to read verses 22 through 27. But before we read these, one of the reasons why God gave me this message is I was having an alone time with Him. And He downloaded me, and He brought me back. He brought me back to when I first got saved 35 years ago, when I would spend days and days and days, just me and Him, alone. And He would just come upon me, and it would be joy unspeakable and full of glory. It would be like no other feeling in the world. It was way beyond the drug use that I used to thrive after and always run after. It was like He took me to another level where this is what I was looking for the whole time, was to be in His presence, was to know Him and to have Him live inside me where I can physically feel Him. This is not a figment of anyone's imagination. Because when He comes in like a flood. And when He comes into your being, there's no other feeling like it in the world. Whatever your greatest ecstasy was in life, nothing compares to when the Holy Ghost comes in. And so I recall that those moments with Him, when I was alone with Him. And so we're going to look at some scriptural references regarding alone time with Him, because He spent many days alone with His Father. Not only to be in His presence, but to hear from Him. And so if we're there, let's go now to Matthew 14 and 22 through 27. And it reads, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up on the mountain with who? By Himself to pray. Now when evening came, He was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." But as you can see how this story first started, was He got alone with His Father. He needed that quiet time because there was a whole lot of chatter. There was always someone wanting to touch Him. Multitudes after multitudes. Just imagine, He raised the dead. He healed the blind. He allowed the mute to speak again. He allowed the cripple to walk again. He fed 5,000 on the hill. He did so many miraculous things that John said he didn't have enough books to write on the things He did during his time. Read the book of John. It says there were so many things that he did, we didn't have room to write them down. This is how awesome Jesus is. But he needed that alone time. And I'm here to let us know we need that alone time with him. This is where you're going to get your power. This is where you're going to get the anointing. This is where you're going to get recharged again. When we spiritually leak out. And so, let's look at this. Stress is a killer, but we can't escape it since we're surrounded by distressing situations of all kinds. How many believe that stress is a killer? Huh? I get calls all the time. Someone's in the hospital. Someone's going through. Somebody needs help. Somebody needs prayer. Because of stressful situations that happen in people's lives. One of the remedies, though, is getting before him. Get before him. You see, he was by himself, alone with his Father, before he came and walked on the water before them. I want you to catch this dynamic here. When you're alone with God and he empowers you, now he'll allow you to go forth and do the miraculous. That's what he did. And so, question is, how are we going to handle it? Well, on some of my footnotes here, I wrote, many people try to escape their anxious feelings with medications, with drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, or anything that brings some type of relief. Some people need a relief or a release. But none of these methods are truly effective because they're temporary. The ultimate solution only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes from God. And he has freely provided it to every one of his children. Every one of us has access to the throne. This is why Paul wrote to the Philippian church right up here. Look at this in Philippians 4. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Listen, whatever you're going through, take it to God. Before you call someone to pray for you, first take it to God, then call someone. Can I get amen? There's nothing wrong with calling someone. But did you take it to God first? Or is he secondary? Or are you waiting for someone to pray with you to go to God? Ask yourself that. And so look at this. And the peace of God, look at this. This is what happens when you make your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. So he will engulf you. He will give you joy unspeakable because you came to him first. And when you come to him first, then he goes, okay, now it's just me and you. Now, watch what I will do. Not what so-and-so can do when they pray with me. Watch what I will do, the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at this right up here. Jesus also experienced stress, but he knew exactly how to handle it. Remember, he was a human like us. The only difference is he had no sin. He who knew no sin became sin that we would become the righteousness of Christ by faith. And so, once after feeding a multitude of 5,000, Jesus sent his disciples away in a boat and went up to the mountain by himself to pray. So let's look at this right up here in Matthew 14:22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He had fed 5,000 now, plus children. So there was more than just 5,000. There was women too and children. And so look at this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He didn't go up there to do a kumbaya. He didn't take a guitar up there and start singing. He went up there to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. There's purpose in this. Let me ask you this question, because I fall into the same trap too. When's the last time you spent 15 minutes just you and God by yourself in solitude, in a room, living room, anyway, just you and him on your knees, or maybe just sitting down, your head, you know, just talking to him, praying to him? If you can't recall that, then my suggestion is this: learn to do it. If you want to hear from God, if you want the power of God, if you want God to do the miraculous in your life, you need to spend time with him. Spend that time with him. Quality time. Saying seeking solitude with the Father was his customary practice, especially after dramatic situations like feeding 5,000. We also see the same example in the Apostle Paul's life. After he was dramatically saved, he headed for Arabia to seek solitude with God. Time spent alone in prayer with God is vital. Look at this, what I found in Galatians right up here. Galatians 1:15. But then something happened, for when, this is Paul writing, for even before I was born, God had chosen me to be his and called me what kindness and grace. Look at verse 16. To reveal his son within me so that I could go to the Gentiles and show them the good news about Jesus. When all this happened to me, I didn't go at once. I talked it over with anyone else. Look at this, verse 17. I didn't go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. No, I went away. Where? Into the desert of Arabia, and then came back to the city of Damascus. He went to the desert to be by himself with God. And he became the greatest apostle that ever lived. Why? Because he wanted to know God for himself. He didn't want to know God through someone else. It's real easy to be around people that have great testimonies. Oh, you know. But where's your testimony? Where's your testimony of you being with God and God using you in mighty ways? This is what he wants from us. But the enemy has us duped. The enemy has us trapped. The enemy doesn't want you to spend time with God. You know why? Because that's where your power will come from. It'll come from the Lord. And so the enemy wants to distract you. He'll cause everything else to get in your way. Every time I get before my bed rest, in front of the bed, I drop on my knees. The dog barks. The doorbell rings. The phone starts ringing. Someone comes to the door. It never fails. Why? Because the enemy knows that's where your power is going to come from. That's where you're going to receive your instructions from, the power of the Holy Spirit, when you spend alone time with Jesus. And so, let's look at some practical things that we can do. This is to help us. This message is to help us. Now, don't miss next week, because next week I'm going to go on a four-part series. It's going to be an end-time series. I'm going to show you 53 descriptions why America is Mystery Babylon, found in Scripture. So come back next week. But let's look at this. Let's look at number one, the practice of solitude. Spending time alone with the Lord sets us free from stress. Oh man, let me tell you, when I get before God, that stress goes. This kind of isolation is not the same as loneliness. Solitude is a choice to be alone, to voluntarily separate ourselves from others. But loneliness is a painful inner emptiness that results from feeling disconnected with others. It involves a sense of not belonging and being alone in a universe of uncaring people. The purpose of solitude is to privately commune with God. So don't think that, oh, I'm a loner. No. You get along with God for instruction, for power, for anointing, for guidance, for a prophetic utterance, so that when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That you'll be able to do everything that all these, you see these prophets doing, these pastors, evangelists. Guess what? You have the same anointing as everyone else. Can I get an amen? It'll take an office to achieve that. The moment you get filled with the Holy Ghost, He has empowered you. Jesus. Thank you, God. You see, King David understood. He understood when he sinned against God, he got alone with Him. You know, he could have ran. He could have told the prophet that came to him, that pulled the carpet on him. He could have had him beheaded. He could have hid his sin. Kings could do that. And we read in Judges and some of the books of Kings where they did that. A prophet would come and bring truth, and they would have them assassinated or killed or beheaded or boiled in oil. Why? Because they didn't want to be convicted of the truth. Well, when the prophet came and said, it was you who took that man's only wife, and you got a harem of a bunch of wives, and you took his only one, he could have killed the prophet right there. But look what he did in Psalms 51. He got away with God. He came to a place, I need to be alone with you, God. And look what he says right up here. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. He was asking God, God, remove this stain of guilt. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. See, you can only do that when you're alone with Him. You know why? Because you don't want no one else to know your sin. Can I get an amen? You don't want nobody to know about your sin. Because sometimes it's shameful. And so you need to get along with God. And that's what King David did. He got alone with Him. And he was confessing. And the Holy Spirit had him write it down for us. That 3,000 years later, we would read this and say, if He can do it, we can do it. Look at this in verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you. Notice he says, against you. You only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Look at this in verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth from the inward parts. He's looking for truth that's within us, not lies, not cover-ups. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Now look what he says. He's asking God now. See, only you can ask God in your when you're by yourself with Him. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. You see, the guilt of his sin was crushing to him. God had to bring it to the light so that he can learn to be crushed and then to be used again. Sometimes we need to be crushed again. Can I get amen? Look at this. That the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. So just remember, the moment we sin, we transgress against God, and then God takes us to that place. And then you remember, he watched the whole thing. Can you come to a place and say, oh God, hide your face from what I just said or did? And look what he says. See, King David, what I love about King David, he was always looking for the remedy. He was always looking for the fix. Because he knew he couldn't fix himself. He knew only God can fix him. And yes, we have hospitals and doctors, and we have meds, and we have all these things. We got PPO, HMO, we got all this stuff we can run to. But God is saying sometimes you need to run to me. You got to come to me. And there are things that God has just given me this right now. Sometimes we can be plagued with certain types of physical ailments that won't leave. This is a good time to search your heart and say, is there someone that I need to forgive? If there's someone that I need to, is there some things in my life I need to confess? Because when you come clean, that's when God can do his restoration with you. Because David knew this. Look what he says in verse 10 right here. He says, create in me a clean heart. Because he knew his heart was dirty. His heart wasn't in the right place. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Look at this. Do not cast me away from your presence. And this is something that you and I should always be fearful of. The next verse right there. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. What? Let me just say this. If a person is walking in unconfessed sin, he will back off from you. And you won't be able to feel him. You won't be able to sense him. And when you pray, it's like there's no power, there's no anointing, because he has left you. That's why he said here, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of what? Your salvation, and uphold me in your generous spirit. Then I will teach you. Look at this. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. You see, when you get restored and the power of God comes upon you, hallelujah, now you can go be an effective witness. Now you can lead others to the Lord. Why? Because you're coming to them with a clean heart. There's no hidden agenda. There's no sin that's following you. Oh, yeah, well, I'll deal with that later. Would you like to come to Jesus? And not dealing with the sin. That's why you're not effective. Oh, I know this teaching is kind of brutal. I'm just trying to help us. Hallelujah. Saying sometimes the goal is not to study the Bible or bring our petitions and concerns to Him, but to simply be with the Lord. You'll get your study in. You'll learn the scriptures. He's just looking alone time with you. That you would empty yourself before him. That's when the chokehold of stress is broken, and all of our tensions subside. This doesn't mean we'll never experience stress again. But the solitude teaches you and I how to deal with it in God's way when it comes. So let's look at number two. The reasons for solitude. The Lord wants us to be alone with Him for two primary reasons. Number one, He's looking for this, for a relationship. He wants to relate with you. Let me just say this to you wonderful marriages that are here, that are listening on Facebook and YouTube. And some of you have great, wonderful marriages here and abroad. Just imagine if you never spoke one word to your spouse all day long. Then the next day came, not one word. Then the next day, not one word. Can you ask yourself, do you really have a relationship with them? Or are they just there? Are they just there for convenience? Is there a relationship? Without communication, there is no relationship. We become doormats for one another. This is what God is looking for, a relationship. Why? Because He created us in His image. Look at, I found here, putting this study together in Genesis. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." He created us in His image. And what was the purpose for that? That we would have a relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Because these animals don't look like God. But we have the image of God. We're the only highly created being. We're the ultimate creation. And we're the only living being here on this planet that has a soul. He breathed a soul into us. So that soul that we have now the purpose of reasoning. We have thought. We have remembrance. We have communication with one another. The ability to write. The ability to sing. The ability to communicate with one another and communicate with God. We are highly above everything that He has created. We're in His image. So if we're in His image, we should be like Him. Can I get amen? We should learn to be like Him. Praise God. And so no other creature was given this privilege. In fact, God loved us so much that He was willing to send His Son to die for us in order to break down the barrier which sin created. This is how much He loved us. When Adam and Eve fell, He goes, "Okay, I'm sending Jesus to die for them." Just imagine. This is how much He loves us. I need you to get a hold of this. He wants to have that relationship so that you can succeed, not to fail. How many of you in school can recall you failed so many tests? I took my broker's license 5 times. I couldn't comprehend it. I was trying to rush it through. And then I got alone with God. True story. I got alone with Him. I said, "God, why can't I pass this? I passed the agent license to be an agent, but this broker is, it's just tearing me up." Because you go from first degree college material to 4-year when you take your brokers. And it takes you into, you need to know more knowledge, an understanding of 12 fields. They call it the 12 aspects of real estate. And you got to learn all that. And then you're given 250 questions. And you have to have a 70% passing rate. I failed it 5 times. And then I got alone with God. I said, God, help me. I got alone with him. And the next time I took it, it was done. I didn't go to him. I thought I could just whip it out. I could just go, damn, I'm going to ace it. This stuff is not hard. I aced the agency one when I became an agent. I passed it with flying color. I'll pass this one too. Oh, wrong. It was tough. But look what Jesus did for us. If you understand what he did, look what I found in Romans 5, 7, 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God, say that with me, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we are still sinners, he died for us. He died for us. 2,000 years ago, before we were even conceived in our mother's womb, he already died for us. And guess what? He already knew your name. He already knew our name. So when he went to the cross, he already had us in his mind while I'm going there. So just remember that. Every one of us in this room that watching, all of us were in his mind the reason why he went to the cross, to die for us. Yet despite all this, many Christians don't have time for him. They just don't have time. Too busy. Too busy. They just find other things to do. However, saints, we won't be able to relate to the Lord if our minds are preoccupied and our schedules are full. You can forget about it. Solitude is the only way this intimate relationship with our Creator becomes a reality. And then we look at this. It's for preparation. Preparation. What is he preparing us? For eternity. To spend time with him. To love him. Did you know that when we finally go into the millennial reign, the 1,000 years with him, as he rules and reigns on this earth, the Bible says we are going to rule and reign with him. We're not going to be on clouds with harps eating bonbons. He's going to assign us over regions. We're going to be assigned over people, because in the millennial reign, there's going to be us that have the new bodies, and there's going to be humans here at the same time for 1,000 years. And Jesus is going to rule and reign. That's called the millennial reign. Ask yourself this, and then I'll move on. Why has it been now going on close to 3,500 years to this day? This day. Why is the Middle East and Israel such a hot topic? Before I left, it was on the news. They found 6 dead hostages that they killed. They shot them in the head. Hamas shot them in the head and then gave them back. One of them was an American. But ask yourself this. Why is there such great animosity and hatred for the Jewish people? Friday night, I'm going to be showing 4 weeks in a row brand new teaching from Jonathan Cahn from his book called The Dragon Prophecy. And quick tidbit here. I'm going to give you a little teaser here. Adolf Hitler, you know how he hated the Jews. Adolf Hitler trained the Muslim Brotherhood that is in Egypt and discipled Arafat under Hitler's teaching. So where did Hitler get all this? From the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. And why Israel? Why the Jews? Because that's where Jesus is going to rule and reign from. And God has kept them alive for over 3,500 years. Brother, you've been teaching us in Exodus, and now we're in, Genesis, now we're in Exodus. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Cosmonites, Parasites, the Termites, okay, all of them. All those nations are in museums right now. So if you want to know more about them, go to a museum. That's where they're at. But the Jews are still alive. Israel's still here. Why? Because God made a covenant with them. I will bless them that bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, Abraham, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So, you're seeing this spirit that hates them. Why? Because they hate Jesus. Satan knows that Jesus is about to return. And they want him eradicated. They want him removed. They want him dead. Why? Because they want to disprove the Word of God. Oh, I'm holding back from next week. Let me move on with this. I just had to give you that tidbit. Because that's what's happening in the Middle East right now. It's all about Satan trying to destroy God's people to disprove the Word of God. And so, preparation, and then also, let's look at experiencing solitude. And how do we experience solitude? By opening God's Word to focus on Him. To focus on Him. Josh, did you know that Joshua understood this way back? Remember, we were in Genesis, remember? And we looked at this scripture way back when we started. But look at this. In Joshua, right here, look at this. In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it, what? Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. When you believe the scriptures, when you believe God, what he says about you, the gates of hell cannot prevail. Old Slewfoot has nothing on you. I don't care what he throws at you. He'll throw all kinds of stuff. Depression at you. He'll throw anxiety at you. He'll throw sickness on you. Oh yeah. But we should have a shield of Teflon faith. That whatever comes our way, let it slip off. Because God is with us. Can I get an amen? God is with us. And so although solitude is not synonymous with Bible study and prayer, we do not need to spend a short period of time reading the Word or so thinking that will be God-orientated. This is not the time to focus on our needs and prayers and requests. This is what we do a lot. We come to God and we give Him our laundry list. But God, I need this. But God, would you help me with this? Oh God, this, that. He knows already what you need. He knows before you come to Him. The point is to become more sensitive to the Lord's presence. Look what King David wrote here in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is what God wants. He wants us to experience His joy. He'll answer all those things. He'll fulfill your needs. He will honor your needs. He's not bypassing us. But he wants that time with us. And we also have to learn by eliminating distraction. Did you know that warfare is a distraction? Huh? Warfare. Warfare is, it's a biggie with God. And he knows the enemy. He's relentless. But if God be for you, who could be against you? If God is your shield and buckler, who can be against you? If God's the one that protects you, what are we fearful about? Well, Paul, he wrote to the Corinthian church this. Look at this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see, the devil wants to put you in a headlock. Remember when you were kids, you used to wrestle with your brother or whoever, and they used to put you in a headlock and say, cry, uncle. Say uncle, I'll let you go, uncle. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to cry uncle. He wants us to surrender, to give up. That's the ploy of the enemy. But we need to look at it like this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought, even our own thoughts, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You ever ask yourself, how do you punish disobedience? Real simple. Just learn to obey. When you learn to obey, you've already punished disobedience because you're doing what God's called you to do. Very simple. Just obey God, what he's asked you to do, and you've now trampled on disobedience because your flesh says, no, I don't want to do that. But then God says, I need you to do this. And so, okay, I'll do it, God. Now you just destroyed disobedience because you chose to do what God asked you to do. Thank you, Lord. To prevent our minds from drifting, we need to find a quiet place that is free from distractions. The goal is to be still and quiet so we can give the Lord our undivided attention. As we enjoy sweet fellowship with Him, all our worries, our fears, and stress, they just drain away. And we're strengthened to handle whatever comes. How many of you can honestly say that when you spend time with them, you feel more invigorated, strengthened? You're ready to take on a new day, come what may. That's what God wants us. He wants us to get to that place. Can I get amen? And so let's look at the benefits of solitude as we come in for a close. If we practice solitude, our lives will be changed in the following ways. Number one, it makes our busy days more fruitful. If you check in with him first, everything that follows during that day, you'll know that God has spoken to you and he has prepared you for that day. You know, one of the things I ask God, I don't know about you, I'm always asking God, God, give me a divine appointment. Give me a divine appointment. And I asked that yesterday at Mary Lee's wedding. God, give me a divine appointment. And so we were done with the wedding and we were putting stuff away. And this lady comes out of nowhere and walks up to me. She goes, I heard you preaching God's word. My son has been praying for a wife. Would you pray for him? His name is Chris. I grabbed her hands. Let's pray right now. And I prayed for her. I prayed for her son, Chris. Because he's been praying for a godly wife. She goes, he's a wonderful disciple of Christ, and he's praying for a godly woman. I go, come on, let's pray. But she heard the message I gave, and it struck her. And God drew her to me so that I could pray for her. See, those are the kind of divine appointments that God will do if you ask him, God, give me a divine appointment today that I may share you, that I may glorify you, that I can bless someone's life today. She left with joy on her face. Thank you. Didn't even know who I was, but came up there and got prayer. Those are moments that you can't just forget those moments. They're there because God made it all happen. If we begin each day with the Lord, setting our minds and hearts on him and listening for his voice, he'll guide us and make whatever we do more productive in serving and service to him. Look what it says here in Colossians 1:10, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Spending that quality time with him does this as well. It repairs damage. After a hard day when we just can't handle it anymore, a time of solitude with the Lord refuels us emotionally. All the troubles and anxieties are released, and we come away liberated and refreshed when you spend that time with him. Luke wrote this in the book of Acts. Look at this. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Did you catch that? Sometimes we just have to just turn to God. Say, God, I need you right now. And guess what? He does what he does best. He knows how to fix us. See, I don't know how to fix you. My job's not to fix you. My job's to point you to the cross. My job's to point you to Jesus. And he will fix you. It also, look at this, it equips us to face tough days. Time alone with the Lord enables us to face trials, heartaches, and burdens of difficult days with calm confidence and assurance of his presence with us. Praise God. It also creates, look at this, number four, it creates surprising moments. Listen, that was a surprising moment. I asked God, I want an encounter, God. That was a surprise to me. This lady walks up and wants prayer at a wedding. It was a surprising moment. I had no clue. I'd be praying with a stranger. And it wasn't a church service, it was a wedding. But God still honored what I asked him. Okay, I'll bring you someone. You can pray for this woman's son. When we meet quietly with the Lord, he may unexpectedly answer our prayer in surprising ways and reveal even more than what we ask. Praise God. Look at this. Spending that time with him, it strips us from pride. You know, there's some people watching right now, or some people that say, yeah, well, I'm glad it works for you. But I do it my way. It's okay. In God's presence, we begin to recognize his holiness, his perfection, and power. And as a result, we understand how lowly we are in comparison. We're nothing to God, but yet he still allows us to come and jump on his lap. Right, Sister Tammy? You jump on his lap. Hallelujah. And guess what? If you're in his presence every day, it'll protect you right here. Even in health. Oh, that's right. Because if he's the one that takes away the stress, then you don't need to run to the doctors and take all kinds of anxiety pills. You know that there are at least 15 pills for anxiety and stress. And sometimes they want you to take at least 5 at a time. Take these. These will help you. No. Get on your knees before God. He will help you. Get in his presence. Be filled with his joy. Have that covenant relationship with him. And watch him do the miraculous in your life. We're afraid to step out. You see, stress affects our bodies, damages our health. But solitude with the Lord releases our anxiety so that we don't have to suffer its harmful effects. Coming in for a close, it makes a difference in relationships. When we've released our stress to the Lord, our relationship with others improve. Oh, come on. When we started praying in the room this morning, my little stress that I get every time when this thing ain't working right, I get mad. And then when we come out of there praying, what was that? What was I bothered for? We'll just bring it up here. Huh? Thank you, God. It is what it is, isn't it? It's just what it is. Now, let me just say this. The Bible says you can be angry, but sin not. Can I get amen? You can get angry. I got upset. But I didn't make a mountain of a molehill. I didn't come in here, what's up? That would be unruly. That would be uncalled for. That would be pride. You just roll with it. Just roll with it. It's okay. I look at it in the positive aspect. It's worked more times than it's failed. Amen. Can I get amen? It'll get fixed again. Look at number 8. It gives peace and joy. Times of solitude with God can calm our hearts, quiet our spirits, enable us to overcome anything we're facing in life. Look at what else it gives. Number 9 right up here. It gives greater strength from the Lord. How many of you need strength from him? Yes, we all need strength from him. We need his power. I need sometimes to be strengthened. Look, some of you and that are listening have really hard, laborious jobs where you're using your backs and your knees a lot. You know, hard labor. Coming home, man, I could realize. I remember I worked at Western Lumber. You used to just throw lumber all day long. Coming home with your back hurting, pitch all over your hands and splinters in your hands. Building these loads. I used to build loads. Then I worked in the truss yard. We built these 60-foot trusses that went on the roofs. I remember those days. And I remember this old man. This is before I got saved. There was an old man named Hoyle. He was about 64, a year to retire, and he walked around like this. His back was so hunched, and his arms and his hands were always bleeding from the timber. He had to flip timber to load up the sawmill. And I'll be on the other side tailing it and stacking it. The forklift would bring in a load, and then he would have to flip that timber. He'd use his gaff and flip it. And then it'd go right through the plane saw, and then I'm on the other end stacking it. And I always say to myself, I would look at Hoyle. I used to say, man, is that going to be me? Is this what I'm here for? I didn't even know God yet. And I looked at this man. I go, wow. Because, you know, I was young. I just got out of high school. I was about maybe 19, 20, working at Western Lumber. So, you know, had the physical strength. But this guy was already ready to retire. He walked around like this. Get that forklift. Wow. But you know what happened? When I got saved, I went to every one of them and preached the gospel. Amen. And by the grace of God, I'm boasting in the Lord now, but by the grace of God, four brothers got saved. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we started meeting in the nail shed. These big plated nails that we use to, we would tack them on the trusses and they'd go through a roller machine and it would just roll the plated nails on it to make it one whole truss. But we'd go in the nail shed and all we would be talking about is Jesus. 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 And then we had an open yard. There was like 60 workers in this big, huge lumber yard. And then we were all scattered, but we could see each other from afar. And I remember Sal Corona, Fee, I'm being zapped right now. I mean, God was just touching him, filled with the Holy Ghost. He'll go, man. And then I go, I'm getting zapped right now. It would be about God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, and they hated it. Oh, yes, when I got saved. Man, I remember someone used to come drop crystal at my little podium there to try to tempt me. Oh, yeah. Because I'll never forget. We used to have an outdoor podium. I ran the Idaho machine, and so I had a helper. And we used to make at least 300 trusses a day. All we're doing is putting the nails down, throwing the wood in the jigs, boom, it would nail them, and then we'd stack them constantly, constantly. But before I got saved, I had a big boom box out there. I had 92.5. My brother was a DJ. He was a mean mixing magic man. And then he went from 92.5 to Z90. I was playing all these jams because he was the DJ on there. And then I got saved. Then I had K-Praise on there. I had the Word of God preached. They hated it. They hated it. And I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't ashamed. I kept that radio going. And then Sal, let's see, what's his name? Robert Rule, he was the foreman of the yard. And he came and says, hey, Fee, you got to turn that off. I go, why? He goes, because I'm getting complaints. They don't want to hear this. I go, well, when I had the funk on, there was no issue. I go, look over there. Over there is country and western. Look over here. It's rock and roll over here. You know, I used to have the R&B here, but now I got the Word of God. I go, this is my space. I said, I'm sorry. I'm not turning it off. And I never did. Hallelujah. And because I stood, four others got saved, including Marty. You know Marty that sits in there sometimes? Marty Cervantes. We were ex-game members. We used to go looking for each other to kill. I had the privilege to lead him, two rival gangs, and he came to the saving knowledge of God. You know why? You know why I'm sharing this? Because I spent time alone with God. Amen. I said, God, Who can I reach today?
Was Robert Rule from Madison?
Yes.
I played ball with him.
Robert Rule.
He was from Mesa College.
Yes. Yes, he's from there. Yeah. Yeah, big dude, big tall dude. Like he's about 6'3", 6'4". Robert Rule. Yeah. Then he became a foreman there. I got a couple more. You got a couple more? Got a couple more? Okay. It produces greater trust in God. Learn to trust God. Learn to trust God in whatever comes your way. Can I get an amen? Learn to trust Him. I trusted God when I told Him, no, I'm not changing that station. Fire me then. But this is my space. Praise God. We rest in the knowledge that our Heavenly Father will take care of us. Because what it does this. It develops a deeper relationship with the Lord. With the Lord. So I close with these questions. And then we close. Number one. How do you normally handle stress in your life? Do we look for the Tylenol bottle? Or is there some of you that secretly sip? How do we handle it? I'm hoping this message will have enlightened you to do things that would please Him. Not please me. I can't control nobody, and I don't want to control nobody. I got to learn how to control me. There's enough on my plate, and it's called me. Number two, in what way is solitude different from another form of stress relief that you've experienced? Some of us like to get away. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go eat. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And yet the stress is still there. The situation hasn't changed. Because I want the stress to permanently be removed, not to be covered over. How many of you own cats? You own a cat. Who else owns a cat? So everyone that has a cat, especially when they live inside, they got a little potty tray, right? And they go into that tray, and they do their business, and all they do is cover it up. But it's not removed. You have to remove it, don't you? You got to remove it, huh? We think, oh, I don't see it no more. No, it's still there. Sometimes there's things that we want to cover up, but it's still there. I hate to use that picture, but I got as close as I could. Look at number three. Have you ever practiced solitude with God as a solution to stress? Learn to do it, saints. Learn to do it, saints. Get before God. And don't make it a religion. Don't make it like, I have to do this. Do it because you have a love relationship with God, that you love Him, you want to spend time with Him, and you could pick any time of the day to do that. For me, what works for me is waking up and spending that time with Him. Sometimes, as soon as I wake up, I'm just sitting at the edge of my bed, just thinking of Him. Thinking of Him. Saying, God, thank you for another day. You know, there's some people that won't, they don't wake up from their sleep. He takes them from their sleep. Giving you another day means he has something for you to do. He wants you to enjoy that day with him. Look at this, number four. What benefits have become evident from your practice of solitude? For me, divine appointments. For me, you want to be a soul winner? Get before God. Say, God, bring someone my way that I can win them to you, God. Ask him first. And he will make divine appointments happen like no other. I love when he does it. You know why? Because you're not even looking for it, and it happens. You're not trying to make it happen on your own, in other words. We try to do things and make it happen on our own, and then our hands are in it. It falls apart like a lopsided cake. And lastly, would you recommend to others who are dealing with stress? Would you recommend it to others who are dealing with stress? Yes, I would. I would recommend solitude with God. And maybe you're watching right now. And maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe God's dealing with you, that you're not spending that quality time with him. Well, guess what? What I love about God, you can start today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not even here. But we have today. So it starts today. Pick it up from this point on. Make a point of being in his presence. Share all your phobias and fears and anxieties and everything. Share it with him. Some of you may be dating. Ask God, God, is this the right person for me? Some of you have marriages that sometimes the communication's off. Then ask God to check your own heart. Don't try to correct the other. Check your own heart. Because it starts with me. Let me get right first. And then maybe things will fall in place. But if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may receive the joy of the Lord, knowing that your sins have been forgiven, you are heaven bound, and have a hell to shun. If that's you, pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Oh, he's so worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38.com. amazing-grace-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.